Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of Black Belt Wall Street New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am speaking to you from our studio here in Washington, D.C. My name is your host, is Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and I'd like to introduce my co-host.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Greetings to you, Brother Bilal, in our audience. How are you today, my brother?
Greetings to you, Brother Aziz. Welcome to our beginning of the show of 2024. Brother Aziz, this is our 10th year.
Right.
Going on our 10th year, would you believe it?
It doesn't seem like time goes by so fast.
It went right by. Can you hear me pretty clear?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, very good. So again, welcome to tonight's show. I am a little under the weather. I was in the hospital for a few days. Came down with the flu. I am still in recovery. My doctor don't want me talking too much, so I'm going to follow his advice, and I will let our directors take over this evening. Brother Aziz, he's normal, but tonight I'll be his co-host, and I am going to have our educational director out of the state of Delaware. He's going to come in and make some comments. And also our state director in the state of Delaware, Brother Rashid. He will also be participating in making tonight's show. Like I said, I will try to ad-lib as least as possible. I'll put it that way. But I would like to say tonight's title of The Power of the Black Dollar, that ain't the first time we've used that title, but it definitely cannot be the last. We just got our consumers report on African-American consumer spendings. And that report, brothers and sisters, came out to be $1.9 trillion. Let me repeat that figure. $1.9 trillion. And that's consumer spendings. Of course, we know that we're forced to be consumers, and by forcing us to be consumers, our money goes to Caucasian institutions, the banks and what have you. Our monies are forced to go there because we don't have banks and other financial institutions as to where our monies can deposit into our own financial institutions. And then it could be circulated by our own communities. So that is a major problem that we must change. And Brother Aziz will probably be sharing some information on the few institutions that we do have. But that $1.9 trillion. Brothers and sisters, $1.9 trillion, the entire continent of Africa can barely bring in $1 billion. But $1.9 trillion is unheard of, not only in Africa, but all over Europe. There's not very many countries in Europe that can say that they had a national growth product that would equal $1.9 trillion. And African Americans, like I said, this is just one category, and that would be consumer spending. But when it comes to the largest business in our community, and we know that largest business in our community as far as bringing in income is our churches. Our churches is bringing in just about as much money as our consumer spending. That is a little over $1 trillion a year. So, again, all of these monies are going into financial institutions as to where we have no control, and it's taking care of other communities other than our own. So with that said, I am going to now turn it over to my co-host, and from you, Brother Aziz, we will bring in, like I said, Sister Swan and Brother Rashid, both of them out of the state of Delaware. We know Sister Swan is our educational national director, and then Brother Rashid is our state director for the state of Delaware. I spoke to Sister Aisha. She, her and her family has COVID, and she's not. She's recovering, but I spoke with her, and she's going through. We put our prayers in for her and her family her daughter also has it. So make certain we pray to Allah to give them a speedy recovery, bring them
absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, brother.
So amen on that. So with that said, Brother Aziz, I am going to follow the doctor's advice, and I am going to turn it over to you and your other directors that work with you, Brother Aziz.
Yes, Brother, thank you, and I do believe in miracles, and I hope you get well. This would be one of the few times it's almost like they're going to have chains on you to stop you from talking, brother, so I pray that you can get better, my brother. Definitely do. Well, to start our show out tonight, brother, we do realize that there is a need for membership in our, for the Blog Talk Radio show, the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. We are an organization that is profit and nonprofit, and we need memberships to keep this drive going on, keep this information being furnished for you from all the different people that we have, our directors from Delaware, Oklahoma, all over the United States, where we have members participating in helping share information that's vital for us when it comes to conducting business in our community. And one of the things, and you know, one of the things that what it allows us to do is reach out to different business entities to get them to come on our show and furnish information that gives information normally that you have to pay for. Our accountants, when they give out money, our attorneys, when they give out money, our business and finance planners, when they give out information, I mean, you know, All these require money, and here we are, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. We furnish that, give that information to you at no cost. So, you know, those that are listening to us that are not members, join us. We have a small membership fee, $50, which entitles you to a wide arena of opportunities. We have a website that offers you personal items from business members that belong to us that offer a variety of items from soups to cleaning products as well as other business services. We also will have soon on our website, we're offering a quality sweatshirt that comes along with your business, with your membership. If you get a membership from us for $50, well, that's a basic membership. You get a membership and pay $100. Not only will we send you your membership, we will also send you a nice, beautiful Black Belt Wall Street Business Association sweatshirt and have it shipped to you as soon as your membership is involved, is secured. So this is just a few of the things we offer, but our primary function is to enlighten our community in business needs, how to get into business for yourself. Our membership offers a plethora of things. If you go to our website, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, I know it sounds like a long website to go to, but yes, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. And we have a weekly show every week, every Wednesday, from 7 to 9 p.m., depending on the audience we have. And our second half of our show from 7 to 8 p.m. is about business and business concerns and needs in our community. And from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. is about disaster preparation and preparing for disasters that happen in the country. Tonight we won't be having that portion because our disaster and preparation expert, Sister Aisha Abdul-Aziz, is also sick too, as Brother Bilal announced, with the COVID. And we all want to keep them in prayer for the COVID and that. And again, you can go to our website, New Africa Black Wall Street Business Association, Black Belt, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, and .com. And there you can see other things we have on our website, all the offerings we have. Well, now to get down to business, there are a lot of different things that's going on in our community today. And our community, as we've often said, we're on life support systems. As one of our guest speakers that comes on, Mr. Sam Harris, and that's one of his famous quotes. Our community is on life support systems. And we are when it comes to how do we not only spend our money, how do we invest our money? And we are at a critical time now in America as we see America itself and its concerns when it comes to dealing with the African-American community. Any types of handouts or assistance that we get from the federal government is assistance that's the last in the line is giving out assistance, and the funds have dripped down a little to nothing. We have had a lawsuit that was won by the Black Farmers Association some years ago, and I don't want to misquote, but I know it was over 16 years ago that they were awarded their lawsuit that they won, how they had been discriminated against, and, you know, just outright discriminated against. And they were supposed to have been awarded for that. They lost millions of dollars. And since that award, very little has been given to the black farmer in terms of them getting the monies back for what they've gone. A lot of the black farmers lost land. We're talking about hundreds of acres. Hundreds of acres is a lot of land. A lot of land that was productive land. And so these people, a lot of them lost their land. A lot of them lost more than their land. A lot of them went out of business totally. Some have gotten a little compensation, but not all of them, not close to all of them. But But we've seen war after war go on for the last 16 years. We've seen different communities overseas. Aid has been found to help Ukraine out. Aid has been able to help Israel out and all this stuff. We're talking about wars going on as opposed to having something where we're having production. And with this production would allow black farmers to exist. We could do business with one another. All types of opportunities, provided that these black farmers were able to stay in business and continue to grow on land that they probably have owned for some 100 years, some or more. A lot was bought back during slavery time, you know, and it was hard-earned money that earned this land. And now we got government officials who don't care about it. That's one major reason why we need to start fine banking with one another, doing business with one another. And one other reason that's a sign in showing you how we cannot depend on the federal government to pull us up out of the hole, to bring us together. It's a challenge for us to work together as it is for other communities. But the black banks that exist today, they're in business, and they have a certain number of depositors. Bank One is the biggest, largest black bank in African American bank in the country, and it doesn't have a fraction of the money a bank like National Capital One or any of these other big banks, Bank of America or Truist banks. They don't have that kind of money, and the reason why is it's not the investors, it's the depositors. When you have a number of investors in a bank, that means that you have people that own the bank. And when you have a certain number of people that belong to an organization that have more interest in that bank than in the other one, well, they're the dominant holders of that bank. They're the dominant bank owners. So when we say and talk about an African-American-owned bank, that means not the depositors, but the people who invested in opening that bank up as a service to our community, they are the ones that own that bank. Now, secondly, comes along the depositors outside of the owners of that bank, that the depositors are the ones that come and want to do their banking services with the bank. And in doing their banking services, of course, they offer a variety of different services to the community, your ATM, your savings, your online banking, and that. And we also have credit unions that offer some of the very same similar financial services. But one thing for sure that they have in common is the federally secured deposit that they can cover up to. And that's $250,000. They can, a credit union as well as a bank, they have to get body insurance in that from the federal government to cover that amount of money if you have it in the bank, up to that amount. All right, and then in saying that, then what makes a bank big is not the fact that you have a number of people that own it or who are the owners of the bank. Is who are the depositors, who uses those banking services. And this is one of the things that we have tried to amplify on our program is about trying to find an African-American financial institution in your community that offer similar services as your big banks, checking and ATM, those services. And or black as well as black banks or black credit unions, and when you have these, you don't have to start out putting you know all of your money into this institution. Put some money in it, invest a little bit in it, deposit some money in it, and see how the bank operates. And go ahead on and start putting your money into African American banks. When you start depositing the money in there, it helps the bank. It enables the bank to be able to offer you a wider variety of services, as well as an African-American bank would probably be giving you the same type of leniency or consideration that the big banks give to the Caucasian people or the white people. This is nothing that is just new or anything like this, and this is not a theory. It's a fact that's been recorded over and over and taken by a number of researchers that African Americans with the same and better financials than a Caucasian, when they go to the bank, the likeliness of them getting that loan over the bank is like 1 to 10, which almost means you're not going to get it. But we know in a lot of instances, we do get it when there's a need for these places to grow and they want to get more money. Yeah, when they're running out of consumers or customers that want to get money from them, yeah, they'll loan us some money then, but it's not a priority. And it's not a priority. And it's something that we know. And a lot of us that's been around for a while have experienced this at the table. When we go to apply for credit to get a number of things, a home, a major desire and need for everyone in our community, a home. And in our communities where we live, we want to get some financing to, we want to refinance our home or get some money for home improvement so that we can stay where we are. We like the community we're in. And, you know, by not having that, that's how we come up with maybe not a new word, but a new terminology that may be used in our community. They say gentrification. But gentrification is another subtle way of not allowing blacks to get the finance that they need to improve their homes or improve the communities. And other people move in with the finances that they're getting from the bank to come into your community, and they're able to buy your property at a cheap price and fix it up and raise the cost on it. You're never able to come back in that community again. This is what's been happening all around the country, and they call it gentrification. But it's just one step below what we would call redlining, which was formed and created by the government. Redlining, actually increasing the value in the European, the Caucasian, white neighborhoods, and devaluing the property values in the African-American communities. So it's like, what does it take to get us as African-Americans to come to realize it is imperative, whether we want to or not, do business together, invest in one another, as well as get the services and try to find black financial, African-American financial institutions that you can deposit your funds in and start doing business with them. And as they grow, we'll be able to do more business in our community. We'll have more young African-American brothers and sisters that want to go into business, that have a good, solid business plan. If they were white and they went to a white bank, they could get that money. Well, we want them to have that opportunity, if they're black, to be able to go to a black African-American financial institution and get that money just like their counterparts would, and be able to get and go into business, get the finances they need to go into business. This is just part of the education. This is the education we need, and that's what Black Belt Wall Street Business Association is about, trying to help in the financials and education, educate you in the need for businesses in our community. Brother Bilal, I wanted to say, I'm going to hold up right there at that, and I know, you know, and let some other directors come on and impart some of the, you know, beautiful information they have to share with us.
Okay, we can go right on, and we will go to our Brother Rashid, we're going to have comments from you, and then I want to go to Ms. Wan. She has some very informative information for us, but I want you to be able to express your express what's going on in Delaware and how we're coming on there as a director. And like I said, but Ms. Wan, I know she has some very, very informative information. I want to preserve enough time, plenty of time for her. So, Brother Rashid, I'm going to bring you on next, and that will give Ms. Wan, when we get to Ms. Wan, we can allot her the time she will need. Brother Rashid.
Hey, yes, sir. I appreciate that. Assalamu alaikum to you and Brother Aziz.
What's not?
Peace and blessings to the listening audience. I a lot has been going on in Delaware, man. I'm very excited about it. I've been meeting a lot of different people and very eager to hear Sister Swan, you know, talk about the things she's going to talk about educationally in Delaware. And in thinking and mentioning education, I was immediately drawn to, I don't know how familiar you guys are. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Umar Johnson. He's always on YouTube, Pan-African, but he is very into the Black Belt Wall Street philosophy. And he started FDMG, which actually stands for Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy, actually in Wilmington, Delaware. And I'm very excited about it because I just see a lot of potential. I had mentioned on the other shows, and I'll definitely be brief. There's a book by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Claude Anderson that I highly recommend to our listening audience. This book, the title is Powernomics, one word, Power, P-O-W-E-R, and the capital N in that spelling, capital P in the power, Powernomics. It's a book by Dr. Claude Anderson, and it is basically a paradigm on recreating Black Wall Street all over again. And I won't go into any details of it because that'll be something on another show, and we're going to give Sister Swan more time to speak. But I do want to mention two people that I met here in Delaware that I'm very excited about, a lot of Black business owners, and I want to encourage the listening audience to look into the website, as Brother Aziz said, and definitely look at becoming members if you know people who are business owners. We're looking for Black businesses, not just in Delaware, not just in Washington, D.C., but across the country. And I think that is just the beginning of us setting the groundwork and the seeds for what we need to do. Brother Aziz, you mentioned about us supporting Black financial institutions, and I immediately opened up an account with Greenwood, which is actually headquartered out of Atlanta, Georgia. I know the closer location physically for me would be Philadelphia, New Jersey. But I said I'm going to take my initial step with Greenwood. It was an easy setup. I was easily able to put my funds in and actually going to put some more funds in a few more days. And I think we have to, like you said, not just talk about it but be about it, take the initial step. And for most people, that's, you know, it's a lot of fear in people taking the first step. But let me state two people that I met, and I'll pass this over to you guys to pass to Sister Swan. I met a young lady by the name of Lisa Racer. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. And she has a business that's known as Crown to Soul, like the soul on your feet, S-O-L-E. Crown to Soul Skincare. I got to talking with her, looked into her business, was very impressed with it. And I actually bought a few men's products to try out because I always say it's one thing to tell a person we're into this and we're talking about supporting Black businesses, but I actually bought a couple of products from it. Was very impressed, very pleased with it. And I also met another young lady at a New Year's function that my next-door neighbor had, a sister by the name of Audrey Bathia. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. And she has a company known as Shishi, Designing with a Purpose. And she actually does a lot of work with women, which as time goes on, my goal is for us to systematically from each episode to bring on one or two businesses a week to highlight what's going on in our areas, what's going on across the United States, and just inspire each other to start trusting each other, loving each other enough to invest and work with one another. Because as that book Powernomics talks about, and you guys have been mentioning this, group economics is the only way and the fastest way we can change our condition as a people. But it's going to take a collective effort, and I just want to, you know, hopefully inspire our listening audience to take that first step like I did, you know, find one of these banks that the brothers are mentioning and the list that Brother Aziz had given. And if that area is close to you, like I say, put $100 in there just to start, you know, that seed and move it forward. So with that being said, brothers, I'm going to give it back to you so that we can hear from our Sister Swan.
Thank you. Thank
you so much. Director Swan, welcome to the show.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Greetings.
Well, this is something that we have discussed before, and as was previously said, we want to not say but do. And so I'm looking at previous wonderful ideas that we've had now to see ways, or a way especially, to implement. So I'll be working on some things. You know, nothing is done in a brief span of time, but I'm listening and appreciating the fact that we are about this again. And I'm of the assurance that it's going to be more than just notes on paper. One of the things that a note that I made to myself is, let's concentrate on a single goal at a time. If you have multiple goals, it's very difficult to accomplish anything. If you set your sights on a single goal, much more can be accomplished. There was an educator who said something to that regard. Less is more. And that is very true. So let us concentrate on less and then turn that into more accomplishments. One of the things I'm looking at is something that we talked about some time ago with having something organized. I like the idea of a bank, and notice I said a bank. I know that's easier said than done, whereby, if you all remember, we talked about having a black, well, I'll put it this way, having a black business Black Friday. I know you all recall that. I still have my notes on that. And to encourage the black community, not saying we'll get 100%, but any percentage can increase if it becomes something that is showing progress and showing that it's sincere. So in looking at that idea, I was looking at, and we talked about this, and it can't start right away. There's certain little groundworks we'll have to make, but they're relatively easy to make, but they must be made before we institute the plan. For example, in this idea, you buy only on Fridays, every Friday, you buy only from black businesses and from any business that shows perhaps a symbol that we can make, that they can put in their businesses if they don't mind doing that, because they would have to show we support the Black Business Friday. And that will be every Friday where we could ask the black community, do not buy. I don't care if it's your groceries or clothes or food, well, the housing. Well, if you have to pay your housing, like your rent, we mean don't do anything foolish like going out and partying at somebody's hotels and motels and spending that money. But just concentrating on Fridays, this money is going to go to black businesses. take $5 of that money that you're not spending and put it into a fund. And by that, I mean I'd like for us as a committee to designate a bank, not multiple banks. If we decide as a committee multiples, we'll talk about that. Ideally, I would like to see a bank that would commit itself to having a separate entity whereby that money from the Black Wall Street and Black Business Association to put those monies in. Now, the other thing I'd like to see done is have us set aside month by month where that money can be used. For example, we talked about, let's say this is February. It's a little early for that. We know it's going to be down the road, maybe by spring when we get this started, if we get it started. Scholarships, because young people, our Black young people, are now looking for monies to go to college, especially in September. So the monies that we would generate, let's say in February, automatically put aside just for these Black colleges and universities with monies prepared there to give our children scholarships. Every month, of course, this is an old one, so we would change this a lot. But when it was, 2018, we said January would be Women's Health. All of the monies would go towards an organization that supports women's health, especially with so many Black women not having insurance. Just those monies go to that particular cause. February, children's health. This can change. We can have those months set aside for whatever we please. But people who join that organization through our Black Belt and through our New Africa Business Association and a bank that will have a fund set aside just to take in those monies by people who belong to that membership. Another one, March, helping those who are homeless. Housing. April, the National History Museum. I think every month those monies that people are giving, that $5 that you put aside on your Friday Black business support, let that $5, it's amazing how it can accumulate in the millions if enough people are going to commit, join. Let me see. July, for example, we have here the diaspora outreach, especially sub-Sahara Africa. Only those monies that month will go to that cause. It has to be very organized. I have it right on down through December. And, of course, in December we talked about especially having the federal government do its share of matching our funds. And, of course, as a committee, we can talk about that. But organization is what it's going to require. Organization is not hard for us. It's just a matter of doing it. But I would like to see us set aside what we talked about in 2017 and 2018. Let's do it. Where we will have a Black business, Black Friday. Don't spend your monies on anything else, but find yourself a Black business or Black businesses and support them. Take your $5 out of that Friday and put it into whatever bank or credit union, whatever we choose, who will have its own set-aside funding way to know this money is only coming to our bank for this cause. I don't know how that'll work. I am not a financial person, but my brother certainly is. So with our heads put together, I think we can do something with this. But let's do what Ted Sizer, the educationist, said. More, less is more. And, of course, there's so many other things. And remember, too, I think was that in 2018, I have a small booklet here of what my brother Bilal did with education alone. And we need to look into that as also part of what we can do with even what we're talking about here tonight. But let's identify the financial source. I don't think it can be multiples. Maybe it can be. I'm not the financial person. But let them have something at that bank to say these funds coming in are marked for this purpose. And the purpose for that month will go to this cause. And, of course, we know that we have to start with our young people who are very much wanting an education. But here we have a country who said you're going to be at least $100,000 in debt when you come out of your 4 years, and you have to pay it back. Our children didn't have to do that because we are buying clothes, we're buying shoes, we're partying. We have to have our values reset. Let me see, there were so many other things that I wanted to share tonight, but I would like us to start with less is more. What are we going to do on a very simple, easy basis to have us get started on, have a goal each month, know what the goal is, get memberships. Might start out small, but small is better than none. And it will grow once people see that we're persistent. Another thing that I heard you mention a while ago, and I love the idea, especially when it comes to the black businesses, can we not have a catalog, a publication? Maybe it'll be virtual. Maybe it'll be actual and physical. We'll decide that because our funds are low with, you know, not too many people taking memberships yet. But let us have like a catalog of people who will pay for their ad to be online if we don't actually send out physical catalogs where they will advertise their wares, their product in that virtual catalog. Committee, we can decide how that virtual catalog can be set up, how much the ads will cost, and publicize that. And we can talk about how that's done, but I like the idea of people knowing across the country and around the world what are black business products out there that we need to know about and can purchase online. I think we can do that. Other things, but maybe I can get some feedback from others now on any ideas you may have so that we can decide as a committee where will we start with just one simple step, one step at a time.
Okay. I like to do is put on a demonstration of what you're saying right now, and that is what the advertisement, your advertisement would sound like.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
Great.
Bynum & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
And so that is a demonstration of anyone who wished to place an ad through our radio show. We have some more ads. As a matter of fact, they're from the church. And this is where young ladies advertising their religious institution out of Houston. But so ads is something that we are prepared to set up, and we can have your ads put together. We ask for your wordings, send us your wordings, and since my sister is bringing this up, when it comes to the nonprofits, we will make that a part of her educational program. But if they put together a word so that they would like to advertise, we have professionals at Blog Radio, and these professionals will put your ads together professionally, like you just heard the two ads that I just advertised. So hopefully that will give you a good example, sis, of what you're talking about. I'll turn it back to you.
Yes, and I appreciate and very much would respond to the ones that we can hear, the audible ones. And, of course, that should always be part of our radio blog. I'm speaking of when I go to get my mail each day, I find ads. I mean, I'm sure you all are seeing the same thing all over the place. I mean, we call it junk mail. It's so much packed into your mailbox. But in my instance, I'm talking about like having a magazine subscription where a person either would subscribe to the magazine, and, of course, many of the things we're talking about here can be a part of that publication, even if it's one topic per month. But along with that, anyone who wants to place their virtual, I mean, in other words, the visual ad, it can be distributed throughout the country, even outside the country. Of course, there would be I would think that those who are giving their monies to cover their ads, and I think on average a full-page printed ad runs around $150 to maybe $200. But it's an excellent way for people to get to millions. And so I'm also looking at the opportunity for the ads to be on our blog show and also for it to be to those who subscribe to have opportunities to see the millions of businesses across the country where they don't have to go to the actual site to get their product. It can be in California, but something they want. That's what we do with Amazon. So that's also what I'm thinking about. Who's in California that I need to know about? Who's in Zimbabwe that I need to know and would love to have their product? I'm looking at a broad-scale thing, but it would be where people have asked to have this particular, I don't care if it's quarterly or what, but to have it sent to them so they can have a broad spectrum on where we have businesses that are offering great things that we would never even know about, or not only product, but also services, products and services.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like, well, I'll tell you what, this is what I mean about having directors, because ideas like our directors are coming out with right now. I need you guys to come up with these ideas, and I need you guys to implement these ideas. It don't have to be done by me. That's why you guys are directors. Any way we can advance their cause, I like everything that I'm hearing. And I say, you have the idea. We're here to support it.
I'd like for Brother Rashid, since Brother Rashid is our state director for Delaware, and we're also both of us right here in Delaware. Brother Rashid, I'd like for us to get in contact. And you can contact me through, this is lowercase, one word, lifetimeassociates@yahoo.com.
Brother Rasheed?
I just was making sure I had written it down correctly, and I want to make sure, Mr. Wong, you said Lifetime, like LIFETIME Associates at yahoo.com?
That is correct. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we'll get in touch right away, and we'll start touching base with what we can do even here in Delaware, and, of course, that can easily expand with whatever we come up with. And also keep in mind, just to support Delaware, Bilal, your own niece is now, well, she's head of the Department of Education there at the Black College and University. Remember, the state of Delaware, and they're advertising a countrywide now, that if you have a 2.7 GPA, you may attend as a Delaware resident. That school will pay your tuition for free. Just keep the 2.7. But how many people know about that? Delaware student, you know you
wow.
have the brain for a 2.7 GPA.
Yeah.
Therefore, get down
wow.
to Delaware State University and get your education. But the word doesn't spread unless we spread it.
That's right. That's right.
Free.
Right there,
it's free.
Yeah.
This is Brother Aziz. I'd like to say greetings to Sister Swan and Brother Rashid. That's on the legend and the audience greeting. I wanted to say, Sister Swan, and everything you've mentioned there is very beautiful. It's a great for us to start out this new year. It's one of our programs. I wanted to add another suggestion to that, dealing with your educational department. I know you were telling about getting things, the finances together to help some students out in the scholarships and that. However, there is, if we could come up with people that knew how to sit down with students, a group of students, and they could all be applying for the same 10, 20, 30, 40 scholarships at the same time, at an early time, and getting them off. If they got all their GPA together and all that, there are a number of students that are willing to take the time out and sit down with an instructor and fill out the applications for, I'd say, from 1 to 20 or 30 universities around the country and have the opportunity to have these scholarships that really offer the type of opportunities that you're talking about, Sister Swan, as well as even, you know, more than just that. So that's a suggestion that I wanted to offer. And a second thing I had to say was when Brother Rashid was talking about Dr. Umar Johnson forming an academy there in Delaware, and that's a beautiful thing. And we could get Dr. Umar Johnson, Brother Rashid, you could have a talk with him, perhaps just you and him do something that we could document and have on the show, or him come on the show, giving his understanding of that, because I've listened to a number of things the brothers talked about, and he's good to go. He's good to go. So those were the three things that I wanted to bring up about, you know, this program about helping the college students get those early scholarships. So I wanted to turn it back over to you, Dr. Rector Swan, Sister Swan.
Thank you. I would like to, at some point, I think we need to pursue just what we're talking about tonight further in terms of what progress is made just within this week for where we would like to move ahead. Less is more. Start with one thing. Keep it simple. I used to say to my students, kiss, kiss. Keep it so simple. Simplicity brings on a multitude of advantages. We do have and that was, I think, maybe 3 weeks, Brother Bilal, of just how education, that in all of that presentation on education, and I have those notes here, eventually they are going to have to be coupled, because a lot of things that we're seeing tonight, if we take the educational component of that to put with simple planning for how to raise some money and keep it within the community as a vested community, we will be able, not can be or should be or hope to be, but we will be able to accomplish. But Rashid, I have the confidence, and we'll talk with those people at Delaware State to come up with a plan. I'll prepare a lunch, and we will put our heads together. And from that point, we can spread what we get from our meeting to others so that eventually we can have a national plan, at least, with whoever will join us and let that grow. Not going to get 100%, but it's amazing how when people see things are running positively and effectively and trustworthily, more and more will join us. But let's start with little to make it a lot later. And I do have a lot to share education-wise, but that in itself, like I said, that was like a 3 or 4 week presentation on that alone, in terms of what we can do to make sure that what we said tonight can happen.
Definitely sounds good. And I've visited Delaware State, and I actually donated two of my books to their library. And anything that you're willing to do, because I'll shoot you an email shortly. And you spell Swann like S-W-A-N-N. Am I spelling that correctly?
That is correct. Two N's. Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just want to make sure I had the spelling.
If you were to get in touch with my daughter, that's Bilal's niece. She's head of the Department of Education at the campus. That would be Dr. Rouser, Shelley Rouser, and I know she'll be very much of a help to us in our planning.
I got it. Sounds good. I'll definitely jump on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, again, I am going to we don't have a large audience tonight, but again, we have a very informative show, a show that needs to be constantly repeated, especially what we talked about tonight. And I really like the idea of the Fridays, of doing business with each other. The donation part of it, we already have that. We are a Black Belt Wall Street is a nonprofit 501c. So again, as far as an educational fund, we just need to name it an educational fund and have monies going into that. Sister Swann, since you brought that up, I am leaving that in your charge. But as far as our banks, we are already set up as a nonprofit, and it's just a matter of setting up a scholarship fund, educational fund, whatever type fund that you want to set up and name. That's where the monies will be going. And, of course, I look forward to your being able to be the main principal of that.
Help me with that, Bilal. I noticed that it was stated the credit union or the bank, of course, we're looking at the identification of that institution. It must assure up to $250,000 per depositor. Help me to understand that in terms of when we do reach out to the expanded public.
Yeah. Again, as far as the $250,000 deposit, of course, if we are a bank, the FDIC insures any losses that a bank may incur by, you know, going into financial problems or what have you. So you're insured, your funds are insured up to $250,000 as far as FDIC, which is for banks. But credit unions look out for their own entities, and they don't they insure 100% of whatever you have in a credit union. Credit unions see to it that any credit union that should have financial difficulties, other credit unions come in and reassure anyone who is a member of a credit union that your losses will be replaced. So,
and that's why my question is that when persons decide that they want to support the cause, how are they assured of their deposits? Because that money can drastically increase. In other words, are we a bank?
Of course, we are a bank as far as New Africa Black Belt, because we're with Bank of America. Now, I, like Brother Aziz was saying, I am going to, in the near future, be changing our banks to an African-American controlled bank. And one of the banks that I am looking at putting our funds in is Andrews Air Force, a federal credit union. Andrews Air Force Federal Credit Union is all over the world. But the beautiful thing, Andrews Federal Credit Union, it is controlled by African Americans. We are the major controller of that huge financial institution. And
if we're dealing with Bank of America, we're backtracking to what we said about Caucasian controlled banks.
Yes, because again, sis, if you look at, like I was saying in my opening, when it comes to consumer spendings, we our consumer spendings last year came up to $1.9 trillion. And then when the biggest thing is the monies that we put in our churches. And the monies we put in our churches is also showing over $1 trillion. So, again, we can put the more monies we put into, and like I said, even though Andrews is a very large a federal institution controlled by African Americans, it's not the largest of a black bank. Have a list of all of the black banks in this country. We can use any of them we want to, but I look at Andrews because it's such a huge organization, and like I said, being military there all over the world, and I didn't know, but they are controlled by African Americans, so which means that when it comes to decision making, African Americans are the ones that makes decisions on a money distribution, and the problem with Andrews or any of our African-American of institutions, we just don't have, most of us put our monies into the white commercial banks, and we put our monies in white commercial banks. These commercial banks take our monies, and then when we go to for a withdrawal, they telling us that we have to borrow monies, we have to get grants, and all of this. But these white institutions, they are taking in trillions of dollars from African American deposits, and they're taking in trillions of dollars from white folks' deposits. The only difference is that when it comes to economical advances back into the community, all of it is going to white communities, and none is going into our black communities. Therefore, we have no way of circulating our own monies. It's as soon as we get it, it's taken. As a matter of fact, these huge amounts of monies that we put into these institutions, whether it be from our churches or spendings or whatever, it only stays with us for a period of 4 hours once we get our monies. Then it goes into these white institutions, and then these white institutions, of course, finance car dealerships. You go buy a new car, and the dealer tells you, okay, you've been approved. We're going to send you paperwork over to the bank, and the bank tells you, okay, that you've been approved for $60,000, and now we add our fees, which is another $20,000, so you owe us $70,000. And all of that money is not only supporting the growth of white communities, and where, as we as African Americans, we don't have car dealerships. That's why we don't have the car dealerships. It's because all the money is going towards white institutions that takes our monies and treated it as if it's theirs. And
with that said, then Bilal. Because we know that to some degree, like I said, the black on Black Friday for the black businesses, that money, if that is squirreled away, not counting the other six days of the week, that money squirreled away is what we would be concentrating on for bringing into the black community. Can't bring all 7 days into it, but we can certainly bring in monies from one day, and that's going to be in the millions if people would simply cooperate with that. And I'm sure you're going to have quite a few who will once they see how it works, because we know the Jewish community, the Caucasian community, the Latina community, the Asian communities are also seeing returns on their dollar. And so they still buy the same things we buy, but they have a way anyway of making sure they are squirreling away a portion of their money back into the community. It may not, it's not going to be 100%. It may not be 80%. But by golly, 20% back into your own community is chunks. And so what I'm looking at is Black Fridays only. Never mind the other 6 days. They can do their thing too eventually. But Black Fridays, if we cooperate with one another only on Black Business Fridays, don't go to anybody else. Squirrel away that money and put it into whatever we decide would be the correct banking institution. That money we will then designate only to the black community cause.
Yes, that's what the banks will be able to do if we had our monies deposited into black banks, the few that we do own. If our monies was going into those banks, now those banks have the assets to distribute it back into the community. But right now we have so many few depositors, black depositors depositing their monies into black banks until the black banks don't have the assets to distribute monies back into our communities like the white banks do, because that's where all the monies is going, is into the white banks. So we need to put our monies back into our own black financial institutions, so their assets.
So you're saying we need. So you're saying now that we need to publicize what we're talking about now, because I would say 90% of the black community doesn't even know what we are communicating to one another now. We're going to have to find a way, educationally speaking, with that department that I'm looking at for Delaware and for us in general. We have to publicize this, and we'll have to find the most effective way to publicize what we want done.
Yes, because we will. Once we can do that, we'll be going to these black institutions and let them know, look, we're closing our accounts with such and such bank, and we're bringing our monies to you, and we're looking for you to bring about economic opportunities. And, of course, that's how banks make money, is to bring about economic, is to make loans back into their own communities. So the black banks would love to have our deposits so they can put monies back into our communities and we can start using our own assets to grow our own communities.
I wouldn't say 100%. I don't think that you would get cooperation by telling people to close out their current bank accounts entirely and go to the what entity we might be offering as a black bank. But gee whiz, do 10%, do 15%, do 20%. Diversifying your money is the smartest way to do anything anyway. So even if we as a black community do that much, you're talking millions upon millions of dollars with just 10 or 15 or 20%. Never mind telling them to take 100% out. Just take out 15%, 10%. That's a huge chunk.
And you're talking about making those monies every day, because the more monies we put into the banks, the more monies the banks can distribute it back into our communities. And that's what would create economic opportunities. And that's what Black Belt Wall Street, that's how it all got started. This is how what made them powerful, is that they had their own financial institutions throughout the entire South.
So you're going to now identify these banks so we can look into them, the black banks, and we can look into them and from that point make some more strategies towards organizing.
And just to bring you up to date, I'll ask Brother Aziz if he would run down the list for you real fast. This is something that he does a wonderful job with, Brother Aziz.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Let me pull that up. Yeah, okay. This is a list of the black-owned banks and their physical branch locations. In Alabama, we have the Alamerica Bank. Another bank, the second bank, is Citizens Trust Bank. And the third bank is the Commonwealth National Bank. So it's three black banks in Alabama. In Arkansas.
And that's Alamerica, Citizens Trust, and what is the third one?
It's Commonwealth National Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm going to try to do is
email that to me. Email it to me.
Yeah, we can send you a list of those.
Okay.
As you travel.
Yes, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to see if Brother Bilal can put that list of black African American banks and the financial institutions and credit unions on our website.
Will. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Brother.
That might be something.
Right away.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
The second one is Arkansas. No, Arkansas, it has one African-American bank, and that bank is, it has one African-American financial institution that's called Hope Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. In the state mm-hmm. of California, we have one African-American financial institution, is called Broadway Federal Bank.
And what is that again? Is it Broadway?
Yes, Broadway, yes, Federal Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the District of Columbia, DCA, we have three African-American banks. The first bank is City First Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then a second bank is Phi Beta Sigma Federal Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is Howard University Employees Federal Credit Union. And mind you, every state, as many of the states don't have them, we have 22 banks, I believe it is. So that doesn't cover every state. So there's plenty of states we don't have banks in. Or either any kind of financial institution or service.
That's okay.
You know, of that
but
sort.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very helpful. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we do have Florida, the state of Florida. We have FAMU, Federal Credit Union. And that FAMU is, I'm sure that stands for Florida A&M
that's,
University.
Mm-hmm. And that's FAMU, what is that, Federal Credit Union?
Yes, FAMU, Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
And in Georgia, we have two black federal institutions, financial institutions. One of them is called Carver State Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is called Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Federal Credit Union. Omega Psi Phi Federal Credit
that's
Union.
That's the Q's. Oh, that's the Q's. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
okay.
Illinois, the state of Illinois has one, and that's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called GN Bank.
Okay.
And I don't know what the GN stands for, but.
Okay, we'll look it up.
Green,
okay.
Might be Greenwood or something.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
Indiana has one financial African American financial institution, and it's called Mount Zion Indianapolis Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Zion Indianapolis Credit Union. The next one is Kansas. It has one African-American institution, and that's called Liberty Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is Kentucky. They got the same one, Liberty Bank. Then we go down to Louisiana.
So that is Indiana and Kentucky.
No, Indiana has Mount Zion Indianapolis Credit Union.
Mm-hmm. And Kansas
and
has a Liberty, and what's the other one?
Kentucky.
And Kentucky,
Liberty,
okay.
Right. Uh-huh.
Oh, both of those, okay.
Yes. And then we get down to Louisiana, and they have Southern Teachers and Parents Federal Credit Union.
Teachers and parents.
Yes. Yes, Southern Teachers and Parents Federal Credit Union. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And in the state of Maryland, I think that's the one that has the most African-American financial institutions, and they have five. And the first one is called Harbor Bank of Maryland.
From Harper's Ferry area?
No, Harbor, like in Baltimore Harbor.
Oh, Harbor, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Harbor, yeah, where the ships come in, Harbor.
And that's Harbor what?
Harbor Bank of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
okay.
second one is called Municipal Employee Credit Union of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one is what Bilal was saying is close to where he lives, is Andrews Federal Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one in Maryland is Democracy Federal Credit Union.
Spell that for me.
D-E-M-O-C-A-R-Y. I mean, D-E-M-O-C-R-A-C-Y. Democracy.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Democracy.
And the Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
And then the last one is Industrial Bank.
Okay.
Next one is Massachusetts. It has one bank, and that's the largest African-American financial institution, and that's the One United Bank.
Okay.
And the next one is Michigan, and they have two banks. And the first one is First Independent Bank. And their second bank, one which is a little far away, which I didn't know, their second bank is Liberty Bank, which is in Kentucky and Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Minnesota. Did I say Minnesota? It has the same one as Michigan, one of the ones Michigan have, and that's First Independence Bank. And then we jump down to Mississippi, and it has three African-American banks, and it has the same bank that is in Michigan and one of the other states I read off, and that one is called Liberty Bank, Mississippi. Has three of them.
So Michigan and Mississippi have the same one.
Yes. Yes, okay. Liberty Bank. And the second one in Mississippi is Hope Credit Union. And the third one in Mississippi, and the last one there, is Jackson Area Federal Credit Union. And then we move to Missouri. Missouri has one, and that's the St. Louis Community Credit Union. We had a lot of black folks left the South heading to St. Louis, Missouri, out that way during
mm-hmm.
the movement. And the next, it has only one in there. The next one is New Jersey. New Jersey has three African-American financial institutions, and the first
mm-hmm.
one is Messiah Baptist Church Federal Credit Union. That seems like a church that made a big right move.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of these institutions or churches that have members of 10,000 and all like that, black members, and they dumping tons of money in the other banks.
Sure.
But, yes, the second one there in New Jersey is Andrews Federal Credit Union,
mm-hmm.
which we know it all over the country. A lot of the military is into that also.
Mm-hmm.
And the third bank in New Jersey is Industrial Bank. Industrial Bank. Now we're at New York. And New York has three African-American financial institutions. The first one is Carver Bank. And the second one was Urban Upbound Federal Credit Union.
Again, Urban?
Urban UPBOUND, Upbound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Upbound Credit, Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
Yeah, Urban Upbound Federal Credit Union.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is Industrial Bank.
Okay.
Next is North Carolina, and it has two institutions there. And that is Mechanics and Farmers Bank. That's one. And the second one is Greater Kingston Credit Union. And after the North Carolina, we got Ohio, which has three African-American banks. Adelphi Bank. Second one is Toledo Metro Credit Union. And the second one is the third one is Toledo Urban Federal Credit Union. And as we see, as we go through these, there are a number of credit unions, but they do offer the same security up to the $250,000. Over that,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, Brother Bernard, I know you get your money secured more than that. I think you might have to pay for special insurance or something like that.
When you
can have $1 million guaranteed that you're going to get it if they close.
Sure.
And okay, and the next one is Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has one bank, and that's First Security Bank and Trust Company. First Security Bank and Trust Company. And then they have Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania has two banks, United Bank of Pennsylvania. Yes, United Bank of Pennsylvania and Hill District Federal Credit
Union. That's H-I-L-L?
That's correct. Yes.
And that's Hills Bank?
Hill District District Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
And there was only two there. And then South Carolina, it has three banks, three financial institutions, and one of them is called Optus, O-P-T-U-S, Optus Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is called Palmetto Health Credit Union.
Is that C-A-L?
Yes, C-A-L-M-E. PTO. Yeah, from Palmetto.
Mm-hmm.
Health
and
Credit
Palmetto,
Union.
Credit Union. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Health Credit Union.
Did you say
and
a
the third
health?
One?
Was
yes,
Palmetto.
Yes,
did you say
yes,
health?
Yes, Palmetto. Pardon?
Palmetto. Did you say a Health Credit Union?
Yes, the health, yes, H-E-A-L-T-H.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's something like what you were referring to earlier in our program.
Yeah.
But the funds going to these situations where you can help people out financially, they have, some type of medical health issues. And the third one is Brookland. Federal Credit Union.
Now, okay, this is in South Carolina. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And that's Brookline. And that's a federal credit union?
Yes, that's the Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
And then we get to Tennessee, winding down. And Tennessee has three African-American federal services there and financial services. And one of the first ones is Citizens Bank. And the second one is Hope Credit Union. And the third one is Liberty Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas is coming in either second or third. They have, it's got four of them like Virginia. Texas, it has four of black financial institutions, and the first one is called Unity National Bank. The second one is called Faith Cooperative Credit Union. And that's Faith Cooperative Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is Mount Olive Baptist Church Federal Credit Union, FCU. Mount Olive Baptist Church, FCU.
And their fourth one is?
Is Oak Cliff Christian, FCU. And then we get down to Virginia. And Virginia has four. That's why I said Virginia and Texas, they came in the same amount. And Virginia's first one is Virginia State University, FCU. Yeah, that's Virginia State University, FCU. And the second one is the famous Andrews FCU. And the third one is Democracy FCU. And the fourth one is Transit Employees FCU. Transit, yes.
How about that? Now you're getting into family.
Okay, yeah. I was surprised, you know, the Transit have their own credit
That's
union.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then our last one is Wisconsin, and it has one, and that is Columbia Savings and Loan Association. That's Columbia Savings and Loan Association.
Okay.
And to back this up, I'm going to try to get that, fax this over to you. Email it over to you where you can go to it and then pull it up, and it may be a little easier too, but I'm going to see how I can do that. I got it off of, it was sent to me in a message, so.
Good. That's wonderful. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All righty, and I'll somehow get it to you for sure.
Thank you.
Within the next day, or so.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
And you're welcome.
And that is more we support our own financial institutions, now the more assets they have because they're getting deposits that they can distribute monies back into the community, and their banks grow and our community grow. But because we don't, most of our depositors are putting their monies into Caucasian institutions, because when we first came out with this report, no African Americans on the line that we were speaking that particular night knew anything at all about these these black financial institutions, and many of these black financial institutions has been around ever since Black Belt Wall Street. It was started by Booker T.
Yeah.
Washington. It was started by Booker T. and those associates of his who all came up with business plans to include the Greenwood Business District. And there, at some point, we had hundreds at every state in this country, from Texas all the way to New York and all the way west as far as Missouri. We had black banks all over the South and all over our countries, and our monies were circulating in our communities. That's why when they destroyed the famous a place that we call Black Wall Street, they thought they was cutting off the head of our institutions, but because black had grown so large throughout the South, they was only destroying the Greenwood business districts. Our financial institutions continued to flourish until 1965. In 1965, the reasons we stopped flourishing in our communities is because we accepted integration. And once we accepted integration, we stopped the power of growth in our own black communities, and we went towards what we thought was a better life, and we thought that was going to be integration. But we can see that integration didn't do nothing to make us financial supporters for the white communities, because they're taking our monies and their white banks, their monies, but the only monies that is being distributed back into a community is the white communities. Our black communities all over this country, even though we're putting in trillions of dollars, they have all kinds of reasons saying as to why we can't get our own monies. About a month ago, Brother Aziz and I was invited to the U.S. Department of Commerce. President Biden had sent out a invitations for African Americans. And this was done all over the country, but right here in Washington, D.C., they sent the Department of Commerce. We got an invitation to come to the Department of Commerce, and they were talking about economical opportunities for the African-American communities. And they were talking at the Department of Commerce of how many billions of dollars they had allocated for the black communities' economical advancements. But all of these departments, Department of State, Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, all of the departments had all these billions of dollars to be allocated to the black communities, but for some reasons, the monies are never allocated to our communities. They're just promises that are being made, but at the same time, never implemented. And we went to this meeting, and at that meeting, we asked the SBA, the Small Business Administration, along with all of the Small Business Administration. These are the financial institutions that sponsors the SBA. We asked them what's happening with the huge amount of monies that we're putting into their banks, and why is it that African Americans can't simply go to the banks and withdraw monies economical growth in our communities, and what is the excuses? And they said, of course, one of the excuses is that our financials are not in order. I knew what they were talking about. They're talking about our accountants and our records and stuff like that. But my question to them was this. If we are putting in trillions of dollars into your banks, why do we have to borrow monies? Why do we need grants? It's our monies. Why can't we just come in and withdraw our monies the same way we deposited these monies? And also, if we're having problems with our financials, what are you doing with our monies until these problems are corrected? Are you putting our monies into a special escrow and the monies are sitting there until we can get our act in order financially? Or are you spending our monies? But what are you doing with our monies? If we asked the council that question, they wouldn't. And so and that's when we told them that as a community, we realized that you folks aren't doing nothing but just using us, using African Americans to be your financial. In other words, we're taking care of white communities. So it was
right,
to their it was to their advantage. We said this directly to all the Biden's administration cabinet members. We didn't hold back because, again, we said we have a right to know why we can't withdraw our monies, just like white folks can go into banks and withdraw. Why can't we have business folks that wants to go into any type of business, retail business, real estate businesses, banks? Why isn't it that we can't go in and our monies are put back into our communities as to where we can have economical growth just like the white communities that's taking our monies? They wouldn't answer the questions.
Actually, the question is answered. It's just the sophisticated way of doing slavery.
That's it. Of course, of course, of course it is.
Yeah.
And that's what, to be there to witness the government lying and how they're using how we as African Americans are not even considered really Americans. We are just, like you said, we are their slaves, and our job is to bring in monies to support this white country. And so that's just what it's all. That's why we have to have our own financial institutions, just like we did during the time of Black Belt Wall Street. And we must start with our own banks. That's the beginning, because once we put monies into our own banks, now these banks and we can make the decisions on how our monies are deposited and how our monies are allocated back into our communities. But as long as these monies are into white banks, we are not on the white board of directors. We don't have anything to say over our monies whatsoever. So this is why it's so imperative that we use the financial institutions that we, the few that we still have, and we need to create many, many more in every state. In every state, in every community, we should have credit unions, financial institutions, banks. We should have all of this, and we must have all of this in our community so we can be in charge of the cash flow of our monies in our communities.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Brother Bilal, one thing I was thinking about, because I know the show is approaching its close, and, you know, when Brother Aziz was talking about, and no, you were talking about $1.9 trillion, and I had seen these statistics a while back, so I'm sure they may have changed, but $2 billion the black community spends on Air Jordans. $2 billion. Would it be $4 billion on liquor, alcohol. $4 billion. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one was $30 billion with a B on hair and beauty, like hair, fingernails.
Oh, yeah.
So now when you look at it, I want you to think about this and what Sister Swan was talking about, even if we took 10%, 20% or whatever. Now, that's just three areas of spending. That's not all of them, but that's $36 billion. Mm-hmm. And if people don't know the math, it takes 1,000 millions to make 1 billion.
Yeah.
So that's 36,000 millions.
Yeah.
That's being spent on Air Jordans, alcohol, yeah, liquor, and hair and beauty supplies.
Now you see, so, when we say over the black dollar, you can see how powerful our dollar is. Take away our
And one thing I said before, you know, which, and I'll be quiet after this, and it may sound harsh, but in all of the black communities, there's a normally a convenience store that's owned by everybody other than black people.
Yeah,
I really believe this, but most of our people, unfortunately, don't have the discipline to do it. But I would say to boycott every last, don't even buy a bag of chips out of there for the next 3 months. For the next 3-4 months, and they'll probably have specials, buy one, get three free, still don't buy anything until they vacate. And then the black community buys it up and creates what, like Sister Swan was saying, you know, just one thing at a time. So I just wanted to throw that on the plate on your ears just when you mentioned the $1.9 trillion, that $36 billion of it is from Air Jordans, alcohol, liquor, and hair and beauty products. And I'll pass it back to you guys.
That's right.
Yeah,
and may I say, and I could be incorrect in assuming this, I would not want to close down the businesses of our non African American businesses. I wouldn't want to close them down, but I would want to at least impact them to let them know how much our dollar is needed. So if we would have that, this is usually only four Fridays in a month. If this country knew that every Friday you're going to have a black business only Friday spending, that is quite a chunk of money that we can put into whatever black banks or institutions, financial institutions that we please. And that is a chunk to go towards what we want to do to help our community. Can that grow? But let's start with little. I don't even want to see them close out. But I do want them to see that every penny, right now we have zero coming back to us from our dollars spent. At least let's have some millions coming back to us, even billions coming back to us, without having to close them down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When you guys talk about having your meetings at your universities and your colleges and your business, this is the kind of information in our young folks, especially our young folks in college and all our business students and all, just think how much this will help them moving forward.
That's why the very first thing I put on, once we put this underway, Rashida and I will talk, and we don't know who our committee will be yet, but once we start this, have one thing that you want to impact, and that's why I put as number one as a suggestion the black colleges and universities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and anything, like I said, we can do, we'll be glad to join you guys in any meetings you want, because, again, we have the power. We just need to use our power.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep, nobody's taking nothing else from us. Nobody's making us spend this money. We integrated with these folks, and that's why they wanted us to integrate. They wanted your money.
Well, I'd like to challenge everyone that's listening and everyone that knows somebody to really, you know, spread the word as far as let's increase the Black Belt, you know, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street membership. That would be the first step. I think that, you know, and looking at some of the great ideas that Sister Swan has, you know, from the $5 we're not spending to, you know, investing it in black banks and doing something each month, you know, for a specific cause, et cetera. I think those are excellent ideas. And one thing we always do as a people, we talk about a lot of stuff for a long time, but, I mean, I think essence, I don't mean like yesterday, but very close to it, that we need to start taking those steps, because I know Dr. Claude Anderson said he's been trying to get us to do it for over 40 years. And you guys have been trying to get us to do it for 10 years. So now is really the time to take that first step and let's get it started. So I'm willing to work with anybody and everybody who wants to get things moving.
Well, that's why you guys are directors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why you're directors.
Rashid, I'm looking forward.
Yes, ma'am, definitely. I sent you an email. I hope you got it. And, yeah, I put my phone number on there as well, and I'm following your lead, and let's go in that direction to get things moving.
Excellent, and certainly so. Now, keep in mind, I'll be in touch with you on a regular basis, but since Black History Month is coming, I am going to be baptized into different activities involving Black history, but at the same time, you and I will still be putting our heads together on things, and it's just that that's a sacred time for us next month where we really get a chance to rejoice in being the wonderful people that God made on this planet, the black people, and he's got his eye on us, so let's not disappoint
him. That's right.
I totally agree. Absolutely. And understand. And my ultimate goal is that our people will have that same exuberance that we have in February, all the other 11 months with our history as well. Once we get to that point, then I think we will be very close to where we need to be mentally and moving in the right direction.
I'm sure all of us are seeing that growth. It's no way when we step out there among our people, from the person who is homeless and talking to us to the persons on high levels, they are feeling this thing.
Yeah. That's true.
That's
true. Yeah. This is Brother Isaiah. So I was telling Brother Belial on Monday when they had the Dr. Martin Luther King celebration honoring him, it showed him and Muhammad Ali meeting one another. And when they greeted one another, they hugged and all that and gave great respect to one another. But they all came to the same conclusion. Muhammad Ali told him, you know, even though we have a few differences in our religious beliefs, you know, we still are suffering from the same thing. And Dr. Martin Luther King, when he told Muhammad Ali, I agree with you 100%, brother. He said the racism and the suffering that our people have gone through, we as a people together have gone through that and are going through this here. So we have to work together. We must work together to free ourselves. And it's the same way financially. You know, they figure the people that control us figure by giving us the freedom to go out and do everything, like my brother Bilal said, that integration destroyed us. They figured when they went out and did that there, brother, and we got separated and spread out like that there, that would enable them to break up the financial structure in our community. And it did. It did for the most part. And that's all I had to say on that part.
Well, I have two plays. I have two plays, as my brother knows, that I'm looking for participants. I'm looking for those who will act it out, because much of what we're saying here is actually revealed in those two plays that I've written. At least they're ready. The Creator gave me the inspiration to write them. I'm just waiting for him to say, now perform them. Because so much can be said on stage around the world when you can't travel there. Put it on video or put it on play, and it can travel around the world. That message can be sent. And now is the time to send the message.
Yes.
All right, brother. That sounds like a great idea, and I don't know who you would use. I'm sure you know a lot of cast people, but immediately I was thinking about the drama department there at Delaware State as far as your cast.
I'm thinking that too. Of course, COVID hit, and then now I'm back at getting with them, because I agree with you. They have the age maturity and some experience maturity to do just that. I taught at the Cab Calloway School, but as you know, they wouldn't understand how to put the feeling in it because of the population there that we would need to portray our message.
That's powerful. I look forward to it.
I had one, Brother Bilal, I was wondering if we had time for Brother Rashid, if he would read the poem he read to us last week.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to go. I have each one of you to give a closing remark, and if you want to start with Brother Rashid, it's fine with me.
Yeah, he can take my time up.
I'd be honored to do it, Brother Aziz. I think the one you were referring to was Am I Still Dreaming? Am I Still Dreaming goes, it's titled Am I Still Dreaming? And believe it or not, I wrote that poem when I was 12 years old, and I'm 53. But it goes like this. I woke up from a deep sleep. I couldn't even think because my nightmare was too deep. I saw brothers killing brothers and babies cursing out their mothers. I'm glad it was just a dream. I saw brothers dropping out of school, hanging and slanging on the corner, thinking it was cool. I wiped tears from their mother's eyes, trying to erase the tragedy of the drive-bys. Man, I'm glad it was only a dream. Starved minds wouldn't eat, didn't want to feed. Graduated from high school, unable to read. Young, jobless brothers drove the fancy cars, only later to dwell in the home of the prison bars. Is this reality, or am I still dreaming?
Beautiful, beautiful. Wow.
Thank you. Sister Swan, you have any closing comments?
I do love poetry, and I do remember in 1971, when I had my very first full class, and I wrote a poem to them, and the student loved it so much, he had his father put it in print for me. I can't recall it all. I'll see if I can say some of it. I am myself. I am I am me. I'm a never-to-be-forgotten part of a great society. I am there, I am there, I am here, I'm above, I'm below, I'm sooner or later, and I stop, and I am go. I invite the entire world to come into me, to become my son, and together we will come, not two, but one.
Go ahead.
Back in my old neighborhood in Birmingham, Alabama, that's tighter than a wave cap, man.
My very first poem to my students.
Hey, look at Brother Rashid. That's your homeboy from down there in Fairhope, Alabama, on the other side of the bay. We used to say, man, ain't that powerful. Woo! You got a real good one there, sister. A real good one there.
Thank you, dear. Listen, I have
you can't finish
the
other half of it.
I have an entire anthology. Entire anthology. Plus the please.
Wow.
Okay. Listen, I can't say how wonderful. And one thing about it, Brother Aziz, I directors in Delaware, they They got a lot. They're going to bring us a long ways. So, brother,
yes, Brother Bilal, yes.
Until next week, this is New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. Sam, we're signing off. Good evening.
Good evening.
Lumalegan greetings. Good evening.